The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey, great episode of UFC Unfiltered today, but you probably shouldn't listen because there's an amazingly embarrassing blunder. We have Michael Johnson on the phone. We have Jimmy Rivera on the phone. But again, turn it off so you don't have to hear the amazingly embarrassing blunder.
Why are you bringing up that I screwed up?
Oh, was it you? I didn't even remember who screwed up.
Jaws are dropped throughout this arena. Nobody is sitting down.
Chasing that finish. Elbows raining down.
Oh! On the button!
Are you kidding me?
Oh, he hurt him again!
He's out!
UFC and digital media present UFC Unfiltered. And now, your hosts, Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
Together again, the team.
Yeah.
I was in Los Angeles shooting something for Comedy Central. I am back.
Yes.
Now, Matt is high, so we're going to have a very fun...
What would you say?
I don't know. I'm just
high on life. I like this job.
Okay.
I don't want to say I like it too much. No, I trained this morning.
Yeah.
Me, Frankie, Bam Bam, and Yogi.
It's endorphins. Okay.
What?
It's endorphins.
It's endorphins.
All right.
What, am I smelling something?
No. It's just very giddy. Very giddy.
I'm happy.
That's very giggly.
I'm a happy guy. And you make me laugh, so it's a credit to you.
Okay, thank you.
You think this fucking guy's making me... No. Chris the producer, good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you, too.
We always have to tell Chris, we walk in, and the first thing you want to do is discuss the fight.
Yes.
Or anything, and Matt's always telling Chris, and Matt's right. Yeah, on the air, say it on the air. Because Chris is just anxious to talk.
He is.
But you don't want to have the same conversation twice. You want to do it once organically.
Yeah. Because then when you have it the second time, it's not as fresh. It's like, remember what we talked about earlier? And then it's like, no, but why not keep it fresh?
Yeah.
You know?
What do you think of, I wanted to ask Matt this because I did think of you the whole time. BJ Penn losing to Seaver, they're the same age, and BJ looked very, very gassed in the third round, and Seaver still looked very fresh.
Well, all right, now, all right. It's, with BJ, you know, this, you know, again, a guy I fought ages ago, a guy I came up with. It's kind of hard for me. It's weird. Like, I don't want somebody to stop doing what they're loving to doing, like that they love doing. Like, I know he loves to fight, but, you know, it's definitely, this is the best BJ's looked.
He looked
in his
great,
last
right?
How many fights?
Like, he looked, well, physically,
yes,
he looked
and even,
amazing.
Even in the fight, in his some moments with his jab and you know, reminiscent. You see some stuff that you just, you know, reminds you of the old BJ. And even when he knocked him down with that uppercut, it was an uppercut, correct? Mm-hmm. And it was beautiful. This is what really... I'm going to say, I don't want to say bothers me, but what I don't understand is that when he got on top of him, BJ is so phenomenal on the floor that you see at the very end, maybe 2 seconds left, he got on him. I remember when he got on top of him and I go, oh my God, he's got like, I'm going to see, we could check the time, but I'm going to say around a minute 23, a minute,
yeah,
something
I
like
that. I think you're right.
Because I seen it. I go, that's plenty of time for him to fuck. If not, finish him. Work him over. That's how he got Matt Hughes down. Again, this was ages ago. And he just, you know, he control took the back.
Yeah.
A lot of guys, he's guys that are good at just getting out, getting up. He's got that control, his back control, his mount. It's like second to none. It's beautiful. So he opened up like 2 seconds left in the round. You see him go knee on belly and all of a sudden start to land and the guy panic. And it would have just, I feel he could have really done some damage.
Do you think he did a little to no damage there? Because he just laid on him, it seemed like, for a while because he was tired.
He must have. BJ has an amazing poker face. When I fought BJ, again, ages ago, like 2002,
wow.
He looked the part. He looked great. Afterwards, they almost had to carry him, like in the back. He was exhausted. Exhausted. If I knew, I couldn't tell when I was fighting.
You didn't know
he's got that same blank face and he's... He's not, you know, holding his knees or anything.
Right.
The second it was over, I seen it. And Ray even said, too, man, he was gassed. You should have. Because I definitely had more in the tank. But anyway, my point is, it's hard to tell, you know. Excuse me. But what happened was, like,
can you tell when Derek Lewis is tired?
That was it. Was that, listen, not to get off the subject, but you brought it up.
I love him.
Was that a true story? That he is that true? In the, which I got. I know the guy. He took the picture. Like almost like a selfie, and in the background he goes, I guess it wasn't a good idea to eat chicken and
ribs before the fight,
an hour before a five round main event.
I'm assuming it was. I mean, Derek was,
and that guy's not a bullshit. Who was that? Robert? I forgot who took the picture.
I do not know,
but it's in the tip of my tongue. Anyway, but it's a respectable guy. He's not a guy that's like gonna bullshit.
No.
But anyway, back to the fight with BJ. So you know when I seen him get tired in that third round, and then. Once Seaver started believing that he could hurt him and land on him, it was getting, you know, it's getting pretty hard to watch, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm like, this sucks, man. Because it's almost like you're waiting for that one blow to land. And then I see an old friend taking punishment, you know?
Sure.
And I really, if he would have just took a page out of Felice Herrig's game plan. Oh my goodness, she was on. I don't want to jump all around on the card.
Sure, we'll jump around. Why not?
But her fight.
What else are we doing?
I thought we're talking fights.
Yeah.
I was so impressed with Felice. I was impressed, man. She was awesome. She's really. I think with all the experience she has, she's really putting it together nice now. She's controlling her emotions. She's using her ranges correctly. She's good on her feet. She's clinching at the right time. Her control, that girl, I'm sorry,
Justine Kish.
She's like a Terminator. I mean, there's girls like that where they get away with a lot and they can be doing things totally wrong, giving up their back, leaving things out, but they could just power through and you expect them to get tired because you're doing certain things correctly and they just don't get tired and right. Then you get tired and then they beat the shit out of you. I mean... It almost brings me back.
Literally.
Yes. Yes. Fuck. Oh, man. That poor girl. What a warrior, though.
Yeah. Kish.
I mean, that was, you know, she had an accident. I mean, she really.
Do you think the other girl, know. I was just, do you think that,
Felice took a shower?
No, do you think that Felice knew? Because I'm watching that. And I'm like, oh, my God, there's still, like, did she see that or no?
How about this? I didn't know during it.
I saw it in the replay, the aerial view. You could see it. And she's still fighting. Like, you have to be able to tell.
I think she was in the moment. I don't even know if she knew.
I don't even care.
That was wild, man. She had that choke sunk. And that girl is just tough, man. Really just, what a tough girl. But I was saying, it brings me back to, now this is really old school, man. There was some old school fights where, this is back when jiu-jitsu was ruling, you know, MMA. I don't even know if it was called MMA back then. It might have been called No Holds Barred. But there was a thing called extreme fighting.
Yeah.
And there was this jiu-jitsu fighter named Mario Sperry. They called him the Zen Machine. He's still around coaching. I think he worked with the Black Zillion some. Very, very good jiu-jitsu practitioner. And at the time, he was in their Carlson Gracie team. He fought this guy, Igor Zinoviev. I think I pretty much got that right.
Exactly.
It might be. That guy fought Frank Shamrock, where Frank Shamrock picked him up and slammed him on his collarbone and broke it. But he was a physical freak, this guy, Igor. So Mario Sperry was doing everything right, mounting him and just doing everything right where people back then never had an answer to for. But this dude, it was similar. It reminded me of the Kish fight where the guy would do everything wrong. But then Mario got gassed out and this guy, Igor, ended up just cutting him eventually and just... It just reminded me of that. I don't know why it brought me back to that. Some old school fans going, fucking A, Mario Sperry. Everybody else is going, what the fuck?
But he lost to Igor.
He lost to Igor. But it was one of those things where, my point is this, endurance is, it's another tool in MMA. It's like another weapon in your arsenal where you could be worse in a lot of other areas, but be tough and have good endurance, and you could win the fight. And this girl, Kish, it's a perfect example. She was doing a ton of things wrong. And Felice was doing everything right for the way she controlled her. And when she lost control, how to just protect herself and then get, it was just, she did everything so great. I was so impressed. I was so impressed. I can't say enough. I wanted to just text somebody, but I had a buddy over, so I was talking to him. And, it was a great display of Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Shout out to her coach, Jeff Curran, jiu-jitsu coach, who's, I fought him back in the day. What? Yeah, I beat him. But that's not the point. That's
didn't.
Not the point. He's a buddy of mine. Don't ask me that. No. People, stop. He's a very good friend of mine. Clap for, how about let's hear it for Jeff Curran? Let's hear another one for Jeff Curran, former UFC. Yes! Jeff Curran.
You know what?
Former UFC fighter. I mean,
I wanted
why does Jim always have to bring up if I won or lost the fight? I don't.
I wanted to train, but I'm too tired.
Yeah. Yeah, boo. He deserves it. Yeah, Chris. Boom. Boom.
All right. I knew you won that fight, so I didn't
listen. No, I mean,
that.
I don't know why you have to ask me. It embarrasses me.
Oh, come on.
When you bring up if I want to fight.
You should never be shy about your accomplishments.
All right. But anyway, but he's a tough guy, and he's very good on the floor.
And you talked about guys getting up raw and hurt, sometimes doing everything wrong. I think it was Coke that Dominic Cruz was commenting, like, because he was Guida had him down and was so ferocious on him that he was just trying to muscle his way up. And he's wasting energy, and that's why he's not doing it right. It's like you can't just use athleticism. He's not going through the proper steps to get back up.
I enjoyed the hell out of that Clay Guida fight.
And he's a fucking caveman. He's so great to even running out. He's fun to watch leave the dressing room.
Yeah. No, and then he does laps around after he wins.
His cardio is like, he's going to gas before he gets in the fucking octagon.
But this fight, it looked sharp. He looked really sharp. Great. And it reminded me, I'm not going to say of the old Clay Guida, because it's not like he left, but there was a few fights where he was working out on, he's working his stand up, and he was kind of just relying on the stand up. And I like when he uses those strikes. He can hurt with his strikes because it's not like he doesn't pack a punch. But then he goes right into like a double leg and he runs the guy into the cage. And I like that guy. That was awesome. That was fun. And he had a good awareness of when to switch it up from the striking to the grappling. And it was a classic Quake Guida a win. It was good. It was great. I enjoyed the hell
out
of it.
He is so much fun to watch fight. Yeah. He just, again, the hair all over the place. And one of them commented on how much do you ever have to fight with the hair. I think Anik asked him, you have to fight with hair dangling in your face. I never thought of how awful that must be to have a guy's sweaty hair in your face and your mouth. It's just got to throw everything off.
Yeah. Let me tell you, I never liked rolling when I used to have hair. But then again, I used to use a lot of hairspray.
Did you?
I spray it up. Yeah, like a Guido from the 90s. I'd spray that shit up, and when I'd roll, I'd get all like sticky. Not the good sticky that you're used to, the like a sticky.
Yeah.
Just like a sticky that doesn't, nothing good comes of it.
Well, it was a really good night of a good night.
It brings nothing to the table talking about, you brought up hair.
I know. Right. I just didn't want to. I never wore hairspray.
We have no listen. That conversation ran its course.
The 10 directions I was going to go in, none would be pleasing to the audience.
Oh, all right, good. Get away from
that. I wanted to compliment.
We have a lot of fights to talk about.
We do, yes. Dominic Reyes. Now, it was his UFC debut. That's not his first professional fight. I didn't
know. I think he was 6-0. I think he's 7-0.
How impressive was that guy?
Here's the beauty: is he knocked him down twice. Yeah. The second time, he literally, it was like a walk off home run. He hit him, and he didn't. He stood there and looked at his handiwork for a second. Did you notice that?
Yes.
Pop, and he just looked at how it was like when Reggie would hit a home
very
run.
Very controlled for a. How long was that fight?
I think he thought he was knocked out
for
on his
UFC
feet.
Debut.
29 seconds.
Yeah,
is that one of the fastest in light heavyweight history?
I think they said it was the second fastest.
Second,
yeah, in like a debut. I don't know. I'd have to look.
Where does he train out of, and who does he train with?
I don't know. Let's see.
Let's find that out. Yeah. And one of the things I noticed when he dropped him with that right was like Ray Longo always says, you know, throw it from your chin. Like, in other words, don't, like, you never cock it back. Like, you know, if I'm here, I'm just going forward. Boom. I'm not ever coming back slightly at all.
Why? You know, look, why? Because it tells?
One, it telegraphs. Two, it takes something off where I'm winding up. That's a sign of an amateur. You wind up and you bring it forward. If I'm here, Like Longo, like when I was getting ready for that GSP fight, he used to have me a medicine ball. He used to have me throwing it at the wall, just throwing it. So I'd be here, I'd be taking it, I'd never come back. Here, boom.
Like shot put almost, but just from
back. Look from here, boom.
So you back. Do use your so leg never, when you punch.
Oh, it's I'm turning like I'm putting out a cigarette with my right foot, my hip, and my shoulder come forward here, boom. So I'm never bringing the arm first. It's here, right from the chin. So I'm not coming back an inch. I'm just going bang. You know, from here, bang, bang.
So I guess so, yeah. See, I want to cock
up. I'm not the best shadow boxer, but I can throw some shit, man.
Yeah.
He trains at Cobra Kai MMA. It used to be Joe Stevenson's
Cobra
Kai.
Literally sounds like it's just a parody of the movie.
I think it is.
Yeah, it is.
It is exactly.
Oh, is that how it came to be named? Oh, it's pretty funny.
We're going to call Michael Johnson in a second.
Let's do that.
All right. And then we'll talk when we get back about Johnny Hendricks.
Oh, man.
We have a lot to talk about.
We certainly do.
Johnny Hendricks. Why don't we start right now? Are you calling
him? Well, because we'll just get him on the phone.
Right?
But I want to talk about him. I do want to discuss the main event. Dana's response to the main event. There's a few things I would like to cover.
I want you to read me the response, not now, but because I didn't hear it, but I want to hear it because I don't know if I'm going to agree with it. Why are you picking up the paper? We don't want to do that now.
Well, Michael Johnson's calling in.
You're the best, Jimmy. You going over the notes?
When was he born?
Jimmy, I miss you when I don't see you for a while.
You don't know when he was born, do you?
What?
See? I know when he
was
born.
What did you just say?
I know when he was born. No, don't look it up. I'll handle when he was born. Michael, what's up, buddy?
Jimmy, what did I do without with you, man?
Probably have a better show.
I was in the bathroom for a while. Yes. And it wasn't even bad. I was just, and then afterwards, I like to wash my hands and wash my face.
Yeah, take a moment. Collect yourself.
And I got out of that thing. It was a nerd standing right outside the thing. And he was just like, looked so annoyed that I heard him outside. And it's like, yo, dude, now you're making me pee shy.
Yeah.
Because I got to get a little squirt out because we're going to sit down for an hour or so.
Of course.
Hour
and a half. You want to chillax,
so
at least.
I want to chill. I like to chillax, you know? And I don't need this little Poindex to get all. I mean, he looked so upset. He was just like almost tapping his foot when I opened the door. And I told him, like, oh, hey, man, I heard some. I get pee shy. I hear some voices. It totally ignored me.
You know, it's funny. I resent and hate anybody in the bathroom when I need it. Yeah. I really do get like this God complex. Like, I need bladder is bothering me. Who are you? Michael, what's up?
This is why I say you should have asked me a question about something. We should have talked about something.
Look, guys, we'll talk about Johnny. Wait,
he's fighting Justin Gaethje when?
July 7th. It's the Ultimate Fighter finale.
You know what? Only because you brought it up, and it's I want to know.
Oh, now.
The Dana's tweet or Dana's Insta.
Well, it was the main event.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Set it up, Jimmy.
It was the main event fight. And
hype.
Yeah, so much bad blood between Chiesa and Lee.
Made it fun.
Yes. And wow.
What's the, what? Is somebody going to read to me what he wrote?
Well, let's just say it was. Yeah. What did you think, first of all?
I'll tell you what I thought. I'll tell you what I thought first, if you want.
Yes, I would like to know your thoughts.
All right. This is my thoughts on it. Because a lot of guys are giving Mario a lot of shit.
Yes.
You know? This is. Now, look, I understand that you want it. You don't want to make a call that's iffy. Well, you want to give the guy every chance to get out of it. When the second he jumped in, I've seen guys go out before tons of times. You know, I've been on the mat for 20 years. The way Kevin Lee had him in the rear naked, and he had the palm to palm grip. Mike was trying to lay the right way to face him, and he could have got out that way, but the way he had his arm practically behind his back, he did not find the hand, and he stopped looking for the hands with his hands. It looked a second. I'm saying maybe a second at the most two. I believe he'd be out unconscious. So I don't. They can say that. Oh, Kish was in some really tight chokes, and it was. Yeah, but it wasn't the exact position where it looked. Yeah, it was tight, but she had some room to move. And that's how she got out. The way Kevin Lee had it, I feel that he was gonna be out. When Mario went to break it in, I knew. I'm like, oh, he's out. I said it maybe the same time that he went to jump in.
So
I thought he was out.
It was a good stoppage.
Yeah, I mean, look. In hindsight, the way he was probably just about another second.
He looked like he was going to have a hard time.
How about this?
It looked like he was flailing a little bit.
Yeah. Right.
But the second he sat up, he's like, I didn't tap.
Yeah, but the lights were going out. I watched it. I'm looking at his hands. If his hands would have shook, they stopped at one point. Look, and then it stopped. And I listened, first of all, a big fan of Chiesa.
Yes.
He was on here the other day. I love watching him fight.
Tremendous.
I want the best for him, but I feel that he was going out. But in to his defense, he's the guy in the choke. What's the matter?
I was going to say, interestingly, in his afterward, I saw Chiesa interviewed, and he was able to talk through the entire sequence, and he said, like you're saying, his hands kind of went away from the stuff.
Well, he's going to see it also.
But he said, he goes, I wanted to put my palms up and kind of like shrug my shoulders up. Like he was, maybe it's not the right way to do it, but he knew what. he yeah. was doing at that time, you know.
Yeah, I'm well, he I mean, fine. He's the guy in it, so right. I understand that.
Yeah.
Like, but from what I saw, I feel he was going out. But, I mean, listen, he's the guy in it. He's the only guy that truly knows.
Right. So let me read you the response. You know? That's a nice photo. Dana understood that, what, Matt, what...
He understood what
Mario Mazzagatti was going through. He tweeted the photo of him making the little heart with his hand. So Dana was kind of supporting his decision.
Right.
Read what he
said.
He calls him Mario Mazzagatti because, like, Steve Mazzagatti, who's a terrible...
Yeah. Oh, he's fucking with him?
Yeah.
But what did he say?
Mario, what's his real... It is
Yamasaki.
It is Yamasaki. I wrote it down, and I'm like, maybe I got it wrong. Okay, good.
Wait, why? Is he attacked? What did he say?
No. He was praising him. he writes... Mario Mazzagatti does it again. This guy is more concerned with doing this dumbass heart bullshit than reffing the fight. Steals a great moment from Lee or let Mike fight it or tap. Nobody gives a shit that you can make a heart with your hands like a 12-year-old girl. They want you to pay attention to what's going on in the fight and do your job.
Well, two different thoughts on that one.
I'm so glad Dana fucked that up, because I literally wrote down his name and I'm like, how the fuck did I not know that?
I was always wondering about that heart thing, too.
It's terrible. We all hate it.
Well, there's other guys that do... I don't like when the refs do their own little... Like, they try to make a little unique thing for themselves. It's like, dude, what are you fucking doing, guy?
Well, Herb Dean always does the, like, the salute.
Yeah, I don't know. Herb gets a pass on anything. I like Herb.
Who do you like? Who's the best referee? Is it him or is it Big John?
Hey, what about
the other
first
guy?
Of all, Keith Peterson.
Keith Peterson does this.
You know what's funny about Keith Peterson? Literally, growing up, I don't want to attack that. He's a great guy. We used to call him Froggy because you ever seen Little Rascals with the kid with the voice?
Yeah. Oh, you knew
that's
him
what
growing
he
up?
Oh, he lived in the apartment complex literally around the block from my house.
Could he fight back then?
He was a tough little kid. He was a tough kid. He fought. He had some fights. Keith Peterson. But we always called him Froggy.
He's very good.
But he's a great, what a good kid. He's a great ref. What a great, nobody really talks about him. Because he's never in any bullshit. He's never in any kind of controversy.
Yeah. That was a bad... Although Herb has been known to stop fights a little soon.
Yeah, he stood me up quick with that Lytle fight.
He did.
I won the fight, but I mean, you remember little things. But I like him. We talk about comic book movies when I see him and stuff. He's a good... And he fought before, so he gets it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Herb
did. Oh, Herb did. Herb's, I like her. I always like seeing Herb. You know, being around the UFC so long, when I get around there, there's certain guys you just really like seeing. You know what I mean? You know what I mean, Jimmy?
I know. I remember I saw you talking to Big John in Vegas last
year. Yeah, like Big John was there for my moment.
Oh, we've got our guest. Michael Johnson. Hello, sir.
Good. How you guys doing?
Hi, buddy. You're talking to Jim and Matt on Unfiltered. Hope things are well for you.
Yeah, Michael.
Yeah. These are great. Sorry for missing those calls.
Oh, that's okay. Where are you now?
Just at home back in Florida.
When did you leave St. Louis? I know you're from St. Louis.
Yeah, I'm from St. Louis. I've been in Florida for about 5 years or so.
Do you go home a lot, or are you kind of just happy to be in Florida?
I'm happy to be training here in Florida. You know, I got my good squad and my family there. But I miss home, of course. I don't go back that often just because I'm training so much. So you guys know how that is.
Now, only because there was that TV show. That's why I'm bringing this up, Michael. What about the Black Zillions? I know you've been asked about this a million times, but I want to know, because I watched the show with the Black Zillions versus the American Top Team, and then I heard they're splitting up, and then what's going on with that?
Well, you know, it was just some things that went on with you know, the owner and everything like that. So just a group of us. Just left, and we kind of went with Henry Hughes, and they started the Combat Club. So we're just all together training. The Black Zillion at ATC, that show, you know, I didn't really get that to evolve because I had my fight coming up with Edson around the same time. So I couldn't really, you know, be hands-on that much in that show, you know.
All right, well, you're with Henry still, so that's all that matters. Henry was running shit anyway, wasn't he?
Yeah, of course, pretty much. I mean, you know, that was pretty much the unspoken head coach of the team. You know, everybody, you know, migrated towards him, and you know, he really came in and changed our striking, and you know, he's very open-minded about, you know, what we need to do and how we need to progress. And you know, so now he's working with still got Greg Jones, you know, Gilbert Durino is doing our jiu-jitsu thing now, so everything's working out good.
And what was your strategy against Edson, who's known for kicking so brutally? What was your strategy and how to kind of neutralize that?
You know, my strategy that fight was just to keep moving forward, you know, not give him any space. And, you know, that's my same strategy for this next fight coming up. You know, Justin likes to kick a lot. And, you know, if you give these guys no space at all, then they don't have room to kick. So I kind of got to stay in his face and keep it moving. You know, important thing is I got to be in shape to do it, and damn best believe I am.
And we were at the Garden and saw your fight against Khabib. And I think the first round it was going, you were striking, I think, and doing quite well. And what finally happened? Was he stronger than you thought he was going to be?
Yeah, that was one of the things. And, you know, he really snuck in that takedown. You know, I thought I was going to be able to reverse him in that first round. And, you know, he kind of got on top of me. You know, that fight, I was just really, I was really anxious. You know, I was always waiting for him to shoot on me, so I never got comfortable. I never allowed myself to get comfortable, you know, and he disguised his shots very well. And yeah, he felt like a 205er on top of me, but I'll be prepared for that next time. So he definitely made me a better fighter.
When you went in there, were you saying, like, I just do not want this guy to put me on the ground?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was, man. And, you know, that clouded my thought process. You know, I didn't do what I was best at, and I was moving and staying calm in there.
Well, Michael, what was he saying? I could hear some of it, and I've seen some on the replay. What was he saying? Because he said he respected you a lot after the fight, that you were an extremely tough guy, and you really took a lot of punishment. He had a lot of respect for you. What was he saying while you were on the ground?
I think he told me to give up at one point, and then he's like, you know, I should be champion, or I deserve that, and this and that. You know, tell me to give up. I looked at him, and I hit him with a backhand. You know, I'm like, I'm not fucking giving up. I told him, fuck you, I think. it was pretty funny, but, you know, I get it. You know, he's upset, you know, that he didn't get a title shot, and, you know, I put myself in a bad position and allowed him to do that.
It's kind of creepy, though, during a fight. It reminds me of that scene in Saving Private Ryan. Not that he was killing you, but remember when the guy in the German had the... He had the knife, and he's plunging it in. And the guy's like, wait, what are you saying? And the guy's saying, it belongs this way. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, and he goes, shh.
Yes.
The thing is, I wasn't begging for my life.
No, fuck no, Michael, no. No way, you're a warrior. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying it is creepy, though, because I'm not used to, you know, I had a lot of fights, and I never had a guy talking to me saying, you know I deserve this. I'm like, holy fuck. What the hell?
Yeah, it kind of gets you. It kind of scares you a little. I get it.
It's creepy.
That's right now.
That's hysterical.
I felt very. I don't think I've ever felt more claustrophobic watching a fight than that one, because of the way he kept pulling your arm, and it just seemed like a really horrible position to be in.
Yeah, it was. It was not enjoyable at all. But like I said, I went back to my camp. I started working on what I needed to work on, sure, never to get in that position again. And, you know, I thank the Khabib for doing that to me, because now I know what it's like.
Yeah,
that's,
man.
That's the best way to learn.
Sure.
You know?
That's it, going through something like that.
That's how I've learned what a shitty boyfriend I am, because I've been dumped by every girl I've ever dated. So I kind of figure I need improvements.
With all the experience.
Yeah, you'll find one soon.
Hey, listen, did you see the fights over the weekend? Did you see Chiesa versus Kevin Lee or no?
Yeah, I watched it.
What'd you think of that? What'd you think of the outcome of that?
The obvious, man, that's bullshit that he called that. Michael Chiesa shouldn't have had himself in that position. You know, he's a good friend of mine. And, you know, Kevin Lee was dominating before that. You know, he had him in a real bad position. I think Chiesa looked up at the clock to see how much time he had left, and he forgot that he was getting choked, and he just slipped that in. And I think he was going to tough it out, but you got to let him limp or tap. You know, you can't do that.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, you think that might have been a clock peak, that his head turned a little bit and kind of opened himself up?
Absolutely. That's what I think. That was my first thought, because he was defending very well, and it was getting close to the end of the round, and he knew that. So he looked up at the clock, I think, to see how much time he had left, and, you know, Kevin took advantage of it.
Yeah, both those guys really strangle well from the back. They get their rear naked chokes. Didn't he just finish a couple of guys with that? I think he... Didn't he, right? I
mean, yeah, his last two fights.
He had
Ronaldo.
Yeah, he's finished. Go ahead.
He's strong and tough. He's very tough.
Yeah. All right, man. Yeah, because people are saying that he got stopped a little too soon. I mean, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, to Mario's defense, I really felt that Michael was about to, it looked like he was going out. It looked like he was out because his arm stopped moving. But, you know, again, man, only Chiesa knows, man. He was in that thing.
Yeah, he looked like he was about to go out, but
now,
he was not.
What do you feel about your upcoming fight? Jimmy's doing the hard symbol now. It's throwing me off.
Yeah, Dana's Instagram showing him with that little heart thing. Oh, that was a real fucking, that was an asshole reaming he gave him.
Dana can be funny.
Yeah, again, another one. How many times has Dana got to kill him? Like, he needs to stop fucking up.
Yeah. What was the last fuck up? Do you remember? What was the last big one?
It was, yeah, who was it? It wasn't too long ago. It was some knockout that he stopped way too early. Or no, he let the guy get beat up way too long.
Too long, right?
He's got to find a middle ground right now.
Yeah, and I can kind of picture the fight where they're going, he should stop this, he should stop. Was it, it was, no, that was Roy Nelson was Big John when he got mad. I can't remember who this one was. But
was it Travis Brown? No. With Derek Lewis? I might be way off.
Derek Lewis, yeah, it was.
Was it? If it is, I'm awesome. I might be wrong.
Might have been one of them. If that's got a lot. So.
Wow. Is Chris the producer in this show at all?
No, nice. Well, I'm looking.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You were saying the Roy. No, because that was the Big John thing where Roy kicked.
No, but I said that. What about, he said maybe it's Travis against Derek Lewis.
Oh.
Did he take too many punches because Mario did not stop it?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Well, let's just see who the ref there was. If Matt is right about this.
Oh, no, about Derek Lewis with Travis Brown.
Yeah, beating on him. So how do you feel about your fight coming up? Sorry, we're digressing.
Yeah.
No, it's cool. Digress. I'm excited about this fight, man. I love fighting guys that show up to fight, that always move forward, and they like to throw punches. So, I've been, since November, my last fight, I've had a hard training camp, and I'm ready, man. I'm ready to go out here and put on a statement.
Well, Justin is undefeated. Sorry, Chris the producer?
You're correct, yeah.
Matt was right. He remembered that was the fight. It was Travis Brown losing to Derek Lewis.
Ah, memory of a goldfish, my ass.
It's amazing. Good for you.
Yeah, I don't even know what I ate this morning for breakfast, but I remember that shit. But listen, getting back to your opponent. This guy, Justin, is 17-0 coming over from the World Series of Fighting, and he was the champion, and he defended his belt a bunch of times. With a kid having a bunch of hype behind him, what do you like that? Do you like that this kid's undefeated? And not only that, you're greeting him to the UFC. You're his first fight. So that shows you something. Like you're the guy that's going to welcome him to the UFC. I mean, how do you feel about that?
I feel good about that. I love going to him, being the guy to stop the hype train or to go against the guy that's got all this hype around him. Put me in here against the guy that everybody's on their side. Because I'm not only just disappointing him, I'm disappointing everybody that was rooting for him. And that's kind of joyful for me a little bit. So I love he's undefeated. I love he's coming in. I'm welcoming him to the UFC. But at the same time, I almost feel like I'm getting tested by him. Like he's looking at the top 10, thinking that, this is the easiest guy I can get in here and fight. But it's not going to be that way, man. I got completely different plans for him.
Don't you think someone who's undefeated, I always feel like when someone goes so many fights being undefeated, there's almost a weird pressure they have that you're not having because that first loss, the idea that first loss. Like, I thought John Jones always got lucky in a way because he has a first loss and everybody knows he was kicking the shit out of his opponent. He was winning that fight, and it was stopped because of those stupid elbows. So he took the loss without actually being beaten, but it takes the pressure off. Because it just seems like certain guys go undefeated for a while and then they lose it and they lose a few fights. It does something to the psyche after a while once you finally lose.
Yeah, it does, man. And, everybody knows losing sucks. And the thing is, I've been there before. I've lost, so I know what it feels like. So I can come back from that. And, I always say, the broken evolves the most because I've been at that breaking point to where, I've suffered defeat and it's just been so disappointing where it just fuels me. He really doesn't have much to fuel him. He doesn't have a fight to come back from a loss. I do. So I have a lot more to prove, but he's got a lot to prove in his plate, coming into the UFC. So I love being the guy to take his virginity and get that O out of there.
So when you lose, it's for you, it doesn't change everything you feel about yourself. Like, I think with some guys, it might change everything that they believe to themselves. But so if you lose, you know how to handle that mentally and then just come back and win the next fight.
Absolutely, man. I, like I said, I've lost before, man. It's a process to me. It's a journey. Records don't mean shit, man. Like guys are getting title shots with five, six, seven losses on their records when they're 500. They're just getting them just cut. So, records aren't really important. It's all, like I said, a process and a journey. And as long as I learn and I work to improve the mistakes that I did, then I'm being successful. And everything is going to catch up. It's going to click and, my time's going to hit. Like I said, I want to be prepared because when I get to the top, man, that fall from the top hurts the worst. You know, so when I get there, I need to stay there and I need to finish on top.
Well,
like there,
No, go ahead. No, sorry, brother. Go ahead.
Nah, go ahead now.
Nah, man, I was about to give you some praise. I'm just saying, you show that you're mentally strong, man, because after that fight with Khabib, you came back to stop a very studly Dustin Poirier, who's been... what's somebody you saying?
His last one was against Khabib.
Vice versa.
His last fight.
Wait, did I fuck that up?
Oh, Matt.
Did I fuck that up?
Yes,
what? Did you knock that? Oh, wait, shit. Wait.
Michael.
I suck. Listen, the best is I'm reading this thing and I see Chris go, no, you fucked that up. He's pointing.
I saw you fucking up. I stepped out and let it happen.
I was so bragging about my memory, Michael.
You're just bragging about your memory.
I was bragging about my memory. And this is unfiltered, so we can't cut this out.
We can't cut it out. It is where it is.
So, you're mentally strong. Don't try to save me, Jimmy. You're mentally strong anyway, bro. I talked to you in that hotel bar. I forgot what fight it was. We had a nice conversation. And I seen it in your eyes, bro. I'm gonna bring it back. I know you got what it takes. You gotta forgive me on that fucking thing. And you did knock out Poirier. I didn't get that wrong.
No, it was a TKO.
Poirier's a fucking stud.
Yeah, but it was just the order.
Get that wrong.
I got that wrong. Michael's not letting me go with this.
No, he shouldn't.
He goes, you can't.
He shouldn't.
You got it wrong.
Hey, Michael Johnson, I fucked up. All right, kick me when I'm down.
You're allowed one.
Thank you, buddy.
Hey,
I enjoy watching you fight. If that makes any difference.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
Yo, I think we lost Michael now. No, I think he's not a fan of Unfiltered. I think we lost him for good.
Of course I am. I've been waiting to get on this show. About time you have me.
And then I fuck up like this.
You made a little mistake. We all make little mistakes. None of us fight ones that are that humiliating and big. But we all make little errors. Listen, you're fighting Justin Gaethje. Gaethje on Ultimate Fighter Redemption Finale. Friday, July 7th, 9 o'clock on FS1. So we want to promote when you're going to be fighting. And you're from St. Louis. And we mentioned that earlier. And, you know, what was life like there for you growing up as a kid? Did you grow up in a quiet neighborhood or was it kind of, was there a lot of shit happening?
You know, it was a little bit of both. You know, like I said, I didn't come from,
Michael, your phone's cutting out a little bit, buddy.
I think I hear something.
He dropped out.
He dropped out. He's probably in a car.
No, this is what happened. I totally fucked up. And he goes, you know what? Fuck UFC Unfiltered. I'm driving through a tunnel, everybody. You can't hear me. Meanwhile, he could probably hear us fine. Jimmy.
So happy.
Jimmy.
I fucked up with
Jimmy. How bad was that?
Who cares?
Cool. Don't
look what look what I do. I fucked up
how
with the.
How bad was it? I got so happy that I got that fact right from a fight from ages ago.
That was a very, very impressive.
It was so
thing.
Impressive. That I got cocky, and then I a knockout over Dustin Poirier in December. I'm reading this. I didn't see.
How do you think I felt? I know who Mario Yamasaki. I know who he is.
All right, I'm reading this, guys. I'm reading Chris's.
I've watched 100 fights that he's reffed, and I see Dana's thing, and I'm like, I've been thinking wrong all the time. His name is Mario Yamasaki. We all make mistakes.
No, I got the right. I got the right
them?
Name, and I got the right.
No, but
I got the right outcome of a fight.
Oh, cool. We got Michael back. Michael, what's up, buddy? Sorry about that.
I'm not letting it go. How bad that was.
I'm pointing out a mistake I made. We all make.
You
them.
Know what's nice though? That people know I'm a regular guy.
Yeah.
And I make mistakes.
That's what I tell myself too. When I make a mistake, the people they don't look at it that way though. They go, look at these two unprofessional asses.
Listen, fuck it. Listen, and he was so bummed out. That he wasn't letting it go. Like, oh, I did not give out, but it was a TKO, but it was a out of order. He was just like, you got it wrong.
Yeah.
Now I feel I like Michael Johnson.
Okay.
Okay, there you go.
Michael, what's up, buddy?
All right, hey, what's up? Sorry about that.
Matt is in a tailspin over the fact that he got, you know.
First of all, the good news is I got the thing right where he kicked the guy's ass. He won. So it's not going to bring up a fight that he lost.
No.
But the point I was making is totally invalid.
Here's what you say. Michael, let me fix this. We were talking about you one time, and I pointed out that you, I remember pointing out that you had lost a decision in Nate Diaz, and then you came back and
what
beat
did
Dustin
I say?
Poirier. No, but I made that point on another show, and then Matt was just trying to steal it and make that point here.
Right.
And he got him wrong.
He got him totally wrong.
Michael, my co-host is full of shit. I brought up, and I don't want to bring up fights that you lost, but you had a tough go with Nate Diaz. You after that fight, you came back and you knocked out Dustin Poirier, or TKO'd him. I brought that up on another show, and one of our fans is going to find that for me.
Sure.
Just to find that I gave Michael props. Make me feel better.
Now, you were talking, Michael, before we got cut off, we asked you about St. Louis, and I said, was it kind of a quiet neighborhood or kind of like a lot of shit happening? You said a little bit of both, and then we didn't hear anything else you said because of the phone.
Yeah, it was, it was like one of those neighborhoods where one block was like the good block, and then the next block was like where all the shit was happening, and then, you know, so on and so forth. So it was kind of one of those things. With me, I went to a county school. You know, so I got bussed out to play sports, so I didn't really go to like a in-city school, but you know, there was, so I didn't come from like super hardships, you know what I'm saying, like a bad neighborhood, but you know, of course there were kind of like any other normal like city neighborhood kind of, St. Louis kind of got real bad like right after I left, after I got out at the right time.
So is it harder though when you get bussed out to another school, is it kind of harder because you're not going to school with a lot of the kids that you live around?
No, because, I never really did, you know, ever since like elementary school, I always, got bussed out, went to like a county school. So, you know, like my mom and dad, like the, unfortunately, man, like around that time, the education program in the city wasn't as good as what it was. So, you know, I had to go out to a county school and, you know, get a better education and things like that. So,
and you got into fighting. It was really when you were 10 and your dad passed away. It was suddenly, I think, right?
Yeah. He passed away from a heart attack. But see, people get that story kind of like wrong. Like, that's not like what like fueled me to start fighting. That's kind of when I became like, I lost like track a little bit. You know, like my dad passed away. I started getting into a little trouble. I started fighting in school, like getting suspended, you know, like, and shit like that. You know what I mean? So like losing your dad at a young age. You know, me and my older brother, we didn't really, like, cope with that well. So.
How did you find MMA? What got you first into that?
Well, you know, I always wanted to do this since high school, but, man, I was, a three-sport athlete. You know, I played football, wrestling, ran track, got a scholarship in college for football. And then I went to another junior college and wrestled, and then I started fighting after that. So I was like, you know what, I've been wanting to do this since high school. I'm not playing football anymore. Let me give it a go. So I started training for like first like 3 months back in Springfield, Missouri, and you know, the rest is history.
Yeah, look at you now.
Yeah, it's actually crazy. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Zach Cummins.
Yes.
So me and him went to college together, and you know, that's how I started, you know, training, because he was doing it in Springfield, so I found him, and you know, we started helping each other.
Well, good luck, man. You are fighting the Redemption finale on The Ultimate Fighter is Friday, July the 7th. It's 9 o'clock, and you're fighting an undefeated Justin Gaethje. So, you know, good luck in that. You're always fun to watch fight. You know, it's always entertaining. You always put on a great fight. So I love watching you. And anytime you want to come on, man, it's really fun talking to you.
All right, thank you guys. Yeah, man, have me on more, man. I appreciate it. I'll have you have to come up and do a live sit in the studio show.
We prefer that.
Put him in some headlocks and get things wrong.
Put me in some arm locks for what I got wrong. Yeah, listen, we'll be watching. If you're ever in town, let us know, man. We'd love to have you in studio.
All right, perfect. Thank you guys, man. Appreciate it.
Michael, good luck, man. Take care.
Take care, Michael.
Thanks, bye.
Bye. All right, I like Michael. Like I said, man, I bullshitted with that guy before, and always a pleasant guy to talk to, man.
Fucking Jimmy Rivera, who we're talking to shortly, has not lost since November of 2008. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
No,
that's awesome. That's so impressive.
He's been out. When's the last time he fought?
I want to say it was September of 2016 against Uriah. Yeah, he was Uriah's. Yeah. I wonder if that's the fight that sent Uriah. It was Uriah's next to last fight.
Well, I'm sorry. How long ago?
That was September 2016. So that was Uriah's next to last fight.
Yeah, exactly. And he had an eye injury.
Yes, that was that fight. When did he retire, Uriah?
I don't remember the date.
Last fight was March, February?
Yeah, but it was in Sacramento.
I remember that.
Yeah.
You know, when you have a great glass of wine, it enhances the moment. Now, whether you're reflecting on the day or with someone you love or just like, Wink understands this. It's why they started their company, to give you access to exceptional wines from around the world, so you can have even more of these moments. You got to go to trywink.com. That's TRYWINC. There's no K. It's WINC.com. You take a brief palate profile quiz.
I took that. You know.
You did?
You know, I got this.
Okay.
Yeah, delicious.
It is delicious.
Oh, it's really nice. My wife likes it a little... She likes a little sweetie. A little sweet. Sweetie? She's my sweetie.
She married a little sweetie.
Oh, stop. But yeah, so she likes it a little fruity. You're a little fruity. Sorry. You're anyway, it's delicious, Jimmy. I enjoy it. I enjoy when I bowl pasta. Let's not get into my eating habits. But yeah, it was delicious.
Well, you go, you take the palate profile quiz.
Yes.
And Wink will recommend distinct and interesting wines, actually customized to your palate, to be shipped directly to your door every month. None of your time is wasted fitting in a run to the store, you know, on your way home to, you know, to or from work or on your way to a gathering. No more time spent guessing at what you might like. Because Wink bases the wines they send you on your taste preferences, Wink will even introduce you to new, rare, and custom wines that are not available anywhere else, and they'll tell you the story behind each one. Wine drinking and the enjoyment of wine is like it's like a lifestyle. It's amazing to me how obsessed people get with the right wine. Like, I go out to dinner with people, and they're like, oh, the wine was wrong. Like, people really care about what wine they're drinking. Like, you know, you drink soda or you drink beer. What kind of beer do you use? Beer. But people with wine seem to become obsessed with drinking the right one.
I'm not obsessed, but this is very convenient. And like, did I say it's delicious? That palate profile quiz, it gets it right.
There's no charge to join. You can skip any month, cancel any time, and they have a 100% satisfaction guarantee. So you never pay for a bottle you don't like.
Mm.
I mean, that's a pretty amazing deal. You get a bottle you don't like, you don't have to pay for it. I mean, that's great. Right now, Wink is offering listeners $20 off your first order when you go to trywink.com. That's trywinc.com/UFC. trywink.com/UFC. They'll even cover the cost of shipping. trywinc.com/UFC to get $20 off your first order now, plus complimentary shipping, trywink.com/UFC.
Love it.
You're listening to UFC Unfiltered with Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
Support for UFC Unfiltered comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. They understand that home plays a big role in your life and family. That's why they created Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence you need when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. It's simple, allowing you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process that gives you the confidence to make an informed decision. It's convenient. Our trusted partners allow you to share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage at the touch of a button. And in addition to getting a real mortgage approved in minutes, you can even adjust the rate and length of your loan in real time to make sure you're getting the right solution for you. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/unfiltered. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org number 3030.
Want to talk to Jimmy Rivera?
Why not?
Okay.
What else we got to do?
Yeah, well, we got to talk about the...
we got some fights to talk about.
We talked about the main. All right, we got to talk about Johnny Hendricks.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about that.
Coming in at 188 at middleweight.
You made a face when we interviewed him.
Yes.
I remember it. I remember your eyebrows going up when he told you what he was walking around with.
198?
But I think at first he said 188, and then he went to 190. He goes, oh, no, am I right or wrong?
Or did we get it reversed? Because I thought he came in, I thought when Johnny said that to us, it was like 10 days before the fight. Am I crazy?
Well, it was the Monday, so it was, you know, 7 days.
I'm like, he's way too heavy, man. Like, that's a lot of weight to cut in a week. And again, you tell me, I don't know what I'm talking about. But that to me struck me as a crazy amount of weight.
He looked, I mean, sometimes he does look a little soft, but he looked a little soft.
Here's my theory with Johnny Hendricks, and I love Johnny Hendricks.
Yeah, I know.
I think food for all of us is hard, and there's addictive qualities to food. Yeah. And when you're having trouble at middleweight cutting down to 170, and then they go, okay, we'll give you 15 more pounds, and you're having a hard time, then to me, the eating, there's something wrong. Because he's not lazy. He's a fucking world-class athlete.
Yeah.
He's not a lazy guy. He's a tough guy. He's a great fighter. He's got a left hand. It's like a fucking, it's like a tank. He's doing something wrong.
Yeah.
And I think it's mental and it's food. And food is a motherfucker, man. Food's the hardest addiction. It's the hardest thing to get balance with because we have to have it. I don't drink. I don't do drugs. But you know what?
Yeah.
I can never drink and never do drugs. You can't never eat. Food is a bitch. By far the hardest addiction. So that's my theory. I don't know Johnny well personally. Mm. Just from having talking to him, and he was so happy to be at middleweight in that first middleweight fight against Hector Lombard.
He did great.
Doing great. He looked great. He looked lighter.
This fight, a couple of those punches were close, man.
Yeah.
And that could have made a big difference. I'm watching it thinking, all right, once it started getting going, I'm like, all right, I want to see something's going to land by one of the guys. And, Tim actually ended up really landing.
Oh, but you see the size difference, too. Timbo's just he literally looks like some kind of, some giant bald monster you draw in a comic book. Yeah. You should be carrying a medieval fucking bat with spikes in it. He's a savage.
Well, he's the barbarian.
I know. Yeah. That's what he looks like.
He was going after it, too. He knew that he had power, the power over him.
Those kicks to the straight kicks to the stomach were horrible. And Hendricks is throwing these big booming lefts, and they are just missing. And again, if he connects, I think he could probably knock anybody out with one of those lefts. Yeah. But Bosch knows it's coming, that's all he's got to look out for is that.
Styles make fights. You saw what happened with Jacare and Bosch. I mean,
yes, he
took him down and smoked him. Yeah, Doobie. Took that Kimura beautiful setup. But a guy Johnny's, even though he's a great wrestler, he's not known for his submissions. I mean, whenever he got Magny down, he even wasn't passing his guard, wasn't doing anything. So he'd have to rely on that power and trying to hurt him standing. And again, one of Tim's best attributes, is that he could take punishment. Listen, there's a big difference between getting beat up, and he had Okami on him, mounted him, punching him in the face, and he could weather that and get out, get up, and uppercut him to death. What I mean? There's a guy being able to take a bat to the head and taking that punishment is one thing. About to get your shoulder separated, where you're going to need a steel plate.
Yeah,
a different kind of toughness. You know what I mean? It's a different. It's not even toughness. It's game over.
Anybody
would
have tapped on it. Anyway.
Yeah. So, but what I'm trying to say, Johnny Hendricks doesn't possess that, the skills or the size and the jiu-jitsu to do that to him.
To punish him like that. Yeah.
Styles make fights, so he, for him, he'd have to really rely. That's why I was looking forward to the fight. In a sense, I'm like, man, Johnny's really going to have to rip into him. He's going to have to hurt him. Because he's not going to be able to take him down. And if he does take him, if he does take him down, it's going to be hard to keep him down. And it's going to be hard to just ground and pound him out. This guy's shown that he's got bigger dudes on top of him, beating him up for rounds, and him come back and just go all barbarian on him.
That kick was fucking horrendous. That head kick he scored. Oh.
Oh, yeah. That's how
Jesus it's going. That was the beginning of the end very quickly.
Yeah.
And I think I think it was Cruz that counted the uppercuts. Are there seven uppercuts?
Yeah, it was five or six when he was on the ground.
Sometimes when the camera is at a certain angle, you don't realize exactly how flush, and then they show you the other camera angle, and he was just drilling it was awful.
Yeah.
So, and I don't think that extra 3 pounds is what did that to Hendricks at all. But I do think that the fact that he's having so much trouble cutting, you're losing 20% of your money. What are you doing? So I would love to know with him, what does food represent? Because I know, again, it's hard to cut weight and blah, blah, blah. But when you're having that many problems and you move up 15 and you're still having problems, to me, there's something in the habits that's not right. He's not a stupid guy. He's not a lazy guy. There's just something with food. It's hard to say no to food, man.
Jimmy, I get shit about food all the time. I'm a retired fighter.
Yes, you are.
I'm retired. But I love food, though.
Yes, you do.
You know that. You can see when we talk about it.
Yes, you do. You love food.
But I never once, whether 155, 170, I never missed weight.
You never missed weight.
I'm not looking for a cookie. Well, maybe I am because I'm a fatty.
You're not a fatty.
But I'm trying to say, I know.
You're a stocky guy. You're not fat.
Thank you. Look at my calves.
I can't stop looking at them. What happened? It looks like they're broken. Oh, is that just muscle?
What is that?
Oh, my God.
Touch it.
I don't know.
Don't
I don't want to
touch
it.
Don't you dare touch it.
Looks like you're smuggling a shoulder pad.
Right?
Matt has shoulder pad calves.
People get fake calves. I have nice little calves.
I have fake calves, too, but they're in my biceps. Yes, I have them in my ass. I have calf implants in my ass cheeks.
I'm so happy I have an ass. I told you.
You do a plump little bottom.
They don't.
Oh, no, the Sarah asses are not notoriously plump.
No, I mean.
All right, cool. Jimmy Rivera, on that note. That's what we have. Hey, Jimmy, I hope you heard that we were just talking about Matt bragging about how great his ass is. How you doing?
That's not true.
What's up?
What's up, Jimmy?
First appearance on our show, I believe. I don't think we've ever talked to you before.
No, it's the first time.
And, this is an amazing fight because you're both, I don't know how many wins you have between you. I want to say it's. You're 42-2. You're 20-1. What is he? Is Thomas 21-1 or 22-1? Okay, so you're 42-1. You have not lost since 2008. I mean, does it get harder and harder to not think about losing as you go on?
I never even think about it unless I'm getting an interview or somebody asks me about my winning streak or something like that. I really don't think about it. Just, you know, focus on the task at hand and who I got in front of me and how I'm going to beat them.
Well, this is your first fight since September when you had the eye injury. And what was that like for you when you first heard there was an eye injury? Were you starting to think, like, this is the end of my career?
Yeah, I was thinking I was going to have to be like a pirate or something like that. Oh, going to something else.
Oh, you thought you might lose it totally.
Yeah, no, I got it. I saw some doctors and some specialists able to take care of the eye. I was able to heal up and get it back to where it was, which was, thank God, you know, sort of the eye retina specialist. And I'm back to normal now. I've been back for a while now and looking forward to July 22nd.
Now, when you first had it fixed, how hard was this? Let's say once it healed and you have to come back, is that first couple of times sparring, are you really nervous? Like, you know, I know they said it's fixed, but who knows?
It was a good month before I came back to get hit in the head at all. I had to wait a little while for it to heal up, and then I was able to start sparring like a month and a half afterwards. So it sucked a little bit, but, you know, I wanted to make sure I healed and listened to the doctors and make sure I was okay before I, you know, went back sparring and lost complete vision in my eye.
And your win over Faber, his next fight became and wound up being his last fight. He retired after that. Do you feel like your fight had something to do with his decision?
Yeah, I think I think he was gonna kind of do what he was Frankie Sands and beat Frankie Sands and back in the title mix and go for the title again. And I think he kind of underestimated me a little bit and didn't really realize who I was. And I did kind of stop and realize, you know, he's at a certain point in his life that he's already had a couple chances to fight for the title, hasn't been successful, and maybe, you know, it's time to go on to something else.
Now, you're fighting, Thomas is number 9, I think, and you're number 5. So let's just say, for the sake of argument and for the sake of the interview, you win the fight. Where does that put you, do you think, in line for a title shot?
I think that puts me right next in line for the title shot. I mean, I made it as a gatekeeper. I got to go in there and beat the gatekeeper so I can go in there and get a shot. I know there's a little confusion now because you got Dillashaw, Cody, who's hurt, and you got Dillashaw, who's not going to fight Demetrius Johnson now. He's going to wait for Cody. So, you know, if that happens, maybe I get a shot at Cruz and beat him and be the number one contender.
What are your thoughts with the fight eventually when they fight Cody Garbrandt versus TJ Dillashaw? What are your thoughts on that fight?
It's going to be an interesting fight. They've trained so much before with each other, and to see them go out there, and it's going to be a little interesting. You know, you always hear Cody saying he's got footage of TJ beating up TJ or something like that, or knocked him out. I think it's going to be an interesting fight. I think it'll come down to really who's the smartest with their strategy, how they're going to win, and I feel like it leans a little bit towards TJ than Cody.
Oh, really? Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
And your birthday is coming up, by the way, totally off the subject. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you so much.
Now, I tend to
appreciate it.
Do you like your birthdays? I mean, I'm also from Jersey, so I don't know if this is an East Coast mentality thing, but I tend to despise my birthdays. I just feel like I'm getting older. Or do you enjoy them and celebrate them, or do you prefer not to mention them on your birthday?
You know what? Every time I have my birthday, I usually have a fight coming up, so I don't even think about it. It's a birthday. It just sucks. You're getting older.
27,
sometimes it's fun. 28. Going to be 28.
Oh, you're going to be 28. Ah, dude. You still got the world by the nuts, Jimmy.
Where is Ramsey, by the way, in New Jersey? I'm from North Brunswick, New Brunswick area.
Okay. It's about like 40, 45 minutes north, right by like Suffern, New York. Like right before you hit the border of New York State.
Oh, okay. Off Route 17. You're kind of like the shortcut people would take when they didn't want to stay on the parkway. They would kind of go over that way and cut out some of the New York State through it. Yeah, I've done that fucking many times. It's kind of quiet up there, right? It's not a lot to do.
It's nothing crazy. I mean, it's nice that Hoboken in the city is not far. So if you want to take like a 25-minute, half-hour ride, you could go to the city. But it's really just, you know, it's a quiet town, a couple of bars, a couple of restaurants, a couple of little things here and there to do. Nothing too big, nothing crazy in the town.
And you know, Tiger Shulman for you was kind of where you started, I guess. And what got you into that? What made you go, okay, I want to go and take martial arts?
I was just I was a normal kid and loved freaking Ninja Turtles and karate kid. And I walked into the school, and all of a sudden I saw my sensei, and he was Filipino, and he was going to teach me my first class, and I was like, oh my God, this is just like the Karate Kid. I'm so excited. This would be awesome. I was like 9 years old at the time, and then I fell in love with it. I took my first class, fell in love with it, and been with them ever since, and it's been a great experience.
And did you know, Uriah Hall is also a Tiger showman. Did you guys know each other at all in the past or no?
Yeah. He was a teammate of mine, and, you know, he did really well, did great on the Ultimate Fighter. And after Ultimate Fighter, kind of went a step away and decided to go a different route. And that's, you know, it's pretty much what happened. No hard feelings or anything like that. He decided to go a different way. And, I mean, he's been up and down a little bit since his fighting career. But he's been beating guys that he shouldn't beat and losing guys he shouldn't lose to. So he's a cool guy, though, but at the end of the day.
What are your thoughts on Almeida as an opponent?
I think he's a tough opponent. He has a lot of fights underneath him. He's a tough opponent. It's going to be a good fight, and I'm looking forward to it. I mean, Cody kind of loosened up his chin a little bit, and I'm excited to take advantage of it.
Okay, so you kind of want to pick up where Cody left off?
Yeah, I want to finish it a little sooner.
Now, is there a time frame on Cody coming back to fights? I know guys kind of hate when the division gets tied up. I mean, you have a fight anyway, so it doesn't matter. But is there any time frame on when he's returning and when him and TJ may fight?
I have no idea. To be honest with you, I have no idea. I heard he's doing better. He's hopefully maybe September, October, but I have no idea. I'm just guessing.
Now, how are you feeling? When, you know, when there was all that Demetrius Johnson against TJ Dillashaw fight talk, were you as a fighter going, I really hope this does not happen? Or was there a part of you hoping it happened and then TJ lost and then Cody keeps to his word and says, fuck TJ, I'm not going to fight him. And let's just say you beat Almeida, then all of a sudden you may be in a good spot for that fight.
I mean, anything can happen. I mean, really, anything can happen. It could throw you any spot. I was actually interested in looking and watching the fight. I think it was a good matchup, TJ and Demetrius Johnson fight at 125. I mean, I thought it was really good. TJ's small already. He's not that big at 135. So I thought it was going to be an interesting matchup. It would be, you know, a really good show. I really wanted to see that fight happen, but it didn't happen. You know, Demetrius had his reasons, and it is what it is.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are disappointed. I mean, I guess I definitely understand why you wouldn't. You know, if you're Demetrius, why you don't want to do that in case he doesn't make the weight or whatever, but still.
Nah, I was looking forward to that.
Me too. As a fan, I was. Yeah, as a selfish-ass fan. But, I mean, if I was in that position and I was on a 10-fight win streak, or was he going for his 10th? Like, yeah, I kind of get it. Yeah.
I think it's 13. It's going to be his 13. He would have beat Anderson Silva's record.
Oh, is Anderson, what was it, 14 is the record?
Well, it's title defenses. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, top defense is 12, so I don't know. I mean, I'm definitely, like, you know, I understand where he's coming from. I'm definitely looking forward to that fight. It's going to be a good fight.
And your fight is Saturday, July the 22nd, 8 o'clock. Of course, it's on Fox, and it's it's Weidman Gastelum from Long Island. How does it feel to be fighting in New York? I mean, is this as close to home as you fought?
No, I got to fight in Jersey against Yuri Alcantara, like, a year ago, and that was unbelievable. And this is just an extra half hour on the ride. So, I mean, we're really looking forward to myself. I got two teammates on the card as well. It's really crazy. Besides all the fights, I think the only fight that's like U.S. versus like U.S. is you have Chris Wade and Frankie Perez. But besides that, it's like everybody from like New York, New Jersey versus like a Brazilian or someone from a different country, which is going to be really cool. And it's the first UFC in Long Island, so I think it's going to be great, and I love making history. I got to fight in Scotland for the first UFC and get to fight in Long Island. I mean, Long Island's just in my backyard. I have a school in New York City. It's not far at all, and I'm looking forward to it.
Do you think it's harder, like, when you see a fight in Jersey or in Long Island, is it kind of harder to fight in your home because all the distractions of home are there, or is it, you know, is it harder to go away and then keep thinking about what's going on at home?
Nah, not at all. I mean, I honestly love fighting at home. It's like a comfort zone. Like, I'm a 45-minute hour drive away from where we're fighting, and I'm like, it's great to be home and be close to your teammates and your friends and family, and I love it. You know what I mean? I really love it. I think sometimes traveling sucks at the end of the day because you don't have everybody that you normally have with you. And there's no pressure. I mean, there's some people talk about pressures or anything like that. I think it's really, you go in there, you know, the cage is locked, just you two in the cage, and you go for broke, and that's it. And there's never no pressure. Just go in there and have fun. I love what I do.
Well, this is obviously one of the best fights on the card. And again, I've said it before, but between you guys, you're 42-2. I mean, it's mind-boggling how good you both are. And you're finally, you know, meeting up and fighting each other. And that is on the Long Island card. So good luck. Hey, look, man, if you're in town before then, come in, because we're here on on the Upper West Side. So if you want to come in and hang, we invite all the fighters, but a lot of guys are from out of town. So it'd be really fun to have you in studio if you had to come and just hang for the whole show.
Yeah, let me know. Just let me know. Shoot me a text, let me know, or email, whatever. We'll talk after this. And I'm always in town. I'm in the city Monday through Saturday at my school teaching. So let me know.
Yeah, you got to jump in. We'll have a good time. Chris, the producer, you're going to take care of that.
Yes, I will.
All right, awesome, man. Well, listen, we'll see you. We should probably see you before the fight, July 22nd. That's still almost a month away. So we'll talk to you before then. And if we don't, for some reason, good luck against Thomas Almeida. But if we do, hopefully we'll see you soon.
Good talking, Jimmy.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, guys. Thanks so much for having me on the show. You guys have a great one, right?
All right, you too, buddy. Take care.
Take care, Jimmy.
Yeah, I didn't know he was a local guy like that. I know you're in New York.
I wasn't sure. Where's Eaton, New Jersey? Eaton or Eatontown?
Eatontown. Is that right? It's down by exit 105. I used to perform at a club called Rascals in the South. And a lot of my earliest shows, my first 8 months of comedy, were in Eatontown, New Jersey.
That's where I'm going to be.
I would spend time there and do open mics.
I'm not doing any open mics.
That's all I would do.
I got my kids got a dance gig going on.
You take the Parkway South, exit 105. It's probably an hour from the city.
All right.
It's probably about an hour and a half from Matt.
Hour and a half from you with traffic. Who knows? Could be 4 days.
I'll be there for a little bit. Yeah. Are you going to miss me? I'm not going to be on the next show.
I understand. I will miss you. But I always like when once in a while you take off because then I don't feel as bad.
Why?
Like, because then I feel like when I go away, I have to go to do work. So I'm like, all right, well, Matt has things too. So I feel like I like when I can make it up.
Yeah.
Like when I can help you out. Like, you know, because you cover for me. Yeah. And I'm like, I want to be able to cover for you. Like if you got to work.
I'm not doing anything crazy cool like you, traveling the world. And
well, you're just living a healthy life with
the
people you love. It's a lot better than what I'm doing.
Yeah, I am.
I'm running off to Los Angeles and finding a lady, he says in air quotes, and then doing a fucking Comedy Central show and hating myself in the mirror. You have a healthier life than I do.
Well, you know, I think it's like the yin and the yang. You got to like balance things. Like it's all about, life's about balance. Like passing the guard.
Yeah,
it's
you're right.
It has to do with balance.
It
you
is.
You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
But my kids love to dance, man. They got that whole dance thing going. And so they, I don't know, nationals or something. I don't know. But they have a good time and it's good for them. You know, I like to see what they're passionate about, you know?
Yeah. I'm just looking over the card again. I just enjoyed the entire card.
Oh, yeah, let's get back to
that. Did you see the Martin versus Case fight on the Fight Pass prelims? Sometimes
those are
Martin versus Case on the Fight Pass prelims. I love watching the prelims because a lot of those guys are fighting to get on the main card. And now Martin says he wants a top 15 fighter. He won a unanimous decision.
Right.
But I thought that Case looked very good in the first two.
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought he definitely won the fight.
Oh, yeah?
He talked a lot of shit, which I kind of like. But Case is another one of those guys. And again, I always say who drops his arms. And a couple of times he got clocked doing that.
Right.
And again, if you're Wonder Boy, I guess you can get away with it because he just doesn't get hit.
Yeah.
But I mean, a lot of these guys, maybe it's the style.
You disagreed with that decision. That's what you're saying?
No, I'm just fascinated by it.
Oh, no, but
when I see a guy get hit with it,
wait,
I'm like,
Johnny Case, I'm saying. You thought that. How do you think
I thought Martin won the fight.
Oh, okay.
But I'm just saying, Johnny Case drops his arm.
Right. Because they're trying to counterpunch maybe sometimes. You know, they're trying to suck the guy in.
But, I understand that. Yeah. But, like, again, if you're Stephen Thompson fast, and he's very quick, this guy.
Right.
But I always am fascinated when I see guys doing that. And then when they wind up getting hit, I'm like, well, you know.
That's what happens.
Shouldn't you leave your arms up?
No,
am I an asshole? Maybe I am.
You know, some guys, they bring it down to draw the guy in. Like, Ally Quinta does that and some of the guys. And hell, man, if it works for him.
Yeah, I mean, again, I have, it's just something I watch. It always makes me go, like, oh, it's God.
Like, yeah, I know. You, like, wait, you're anticipating them coming.
Yeah.
Jared Gordon, we found him on Dana White looking for a fight. And let me tell you.
He missed weight.
What?
He missed weight.
Did he?
Let me just spoil your prep. Just letting you know.
How much? By how much?
I think it was 2 or 3
17
pounds.
Oh, 2 or 3. Okay.
Yeah, was it 17?
All right. Well, he's going to get that. He's going to get that in order. But besides that.
He apologized after the fight, too. He said he apologized to the fans, his team, the UFC. He was like, it's unprofessional.
Yeah, he's
going to
do the right thing. Get the kid a break. But, hey, he didn't have any first-time jitters. I'll tell you that much.
No, he looked very good.
That was great. I thought he fought great. You know? Michael Quiznos had a hard time with that. What?
Michael?
Who?
Well,
I'm hungry.
Keonis.
Okay, I'm sorry. I saw the Q.
I understand.
I saw the Q!
In between rounds, his corner told him to get into his chest more. Like, I guess because he was giving him too much. He was giving Keonis too much space. And he fucking did it.
Oh,
and
he listened to exactly.
Oh, boy,
did he. No, he, listen, I enjoyed his grit.
You did.
His grit.
Yeah. It's a good word.
You like the word?
People tell me I have grit.
I'm going to, then they do not.
No one's ever said that.
I don't think anybody ever said that to you in your life. I'm sorry.
You're edgy. That's what people call you.
Well, yes, you are edgy.
I'm edging. That's what I do when I'm alone.
So get, all right, let's get back to the card for a second. Really quick, the main card with Dennis Seaver, you got to give him credit. As the fight was going on,
he was punching, kicking, and spin kicking the entire fucking fight. He didn't stop moving.
I feel if he believed in a little bit more, like he started saying, hey, man, I'm landing. Like when I commit, I think he was a little given too much respect in the beginning. But
who Seaver was?
Yes, BJ? In the beginning. Well, BJ was landing some decent jabs. And, but he still has power. You know, again, I feel that he had his moment when he got on top of him. He had plenty of, a minute 20 is an eternity with a guy like BJ Penn on top of you.
Yeah.
And I feel if he would have just, even though he might, I'm sure he was tired, if he would have put a little bit more on the gas right there, I think he would have finished it or at least, you know, softened him up a lot for that next round, you know. By the time that third round came, you know, I think, BJ was kind of a sitting duck. He was getting picked apart.
And he was beating up BJ's leg, too. Like you were saying, BJ usually has a good poker face, but you could tell he was limping a little bit in the third round.
It's hard to see, you know. But, I love BJ. I wish him nothing but the best, you know. I really have to bring up Felice Herrig again, because I thought she was just really excellent. And to Justin Keish's Kish.
Justin Keish.
You are hungry. You said Keish now.
Yeah.
I'm just a fucking fat guy.
Yeah, well, talk about Herring and how well she did.
Herring did. I was so impressed.
Clay Gouda.
I'm gonna fucking boo.
That was a good one.
That's good.
All that was a very good one.
Hey, you guys are getting me hungry.
Well, I do want, before we go, we should discuss the Astroi Courtney Casey. She was suspended for 90 days. The Texas Department of Licensing and Regulation, and this is a problem now. She had her 2-11 win over Jessica Aguilera changed to a no contest after one of her anti-doping tests, which was administered by the Texas Department of Licensing and Regulation, TDLR from now on, flagged for an elevated testosterone to, epitestosterone ratio, 4-1 or higher is flagged in Texas. Her ratio was 5.4 to 1. They also, they suspended for 90 days. They vacate the win. Now UFC Vice President of Athlete Health and Performance Jeff Nowitzki said that at the end of last week that the UFC and TDLR got the results from Courtney's B sample, and it's negative for banned substances. So USADA had earlier tested her B sample due to elevated ratio and found that she was clean as well.
Right, because USADA, what happened is her testosterone, the ratio was elevated, but USADA had already tested it and didn't flag it because they were like, well, this is pretty normal. But then Texas, the licensing board, will sometimes do a test as well, and they just immediately suspended her and overturned the win.
And this is what Nowitzki had to say about it. Her slightly elevated, testosterone to, don't tell me, I'll get the word. It's hard for me to mention these medical words. God damn it, say it one more time.
Epitestosterone.
God damn it. TDE ratio is just a product of her natural physiology and not anything she did wrong. She didn't cheat. A TDE ratio in and of itself, especially mildly high, is never grounds for a public announcement of a positive test. I believe it's sickening how Courtney has been treated by the Texas Commission throughout this. From my experience, the worst thing you can do in an anti-doping is a public announcement of a false positive test. And that's what Texas did. That's a tremendous... And Nowitzki did a great job there. What a great defense of her. Wow. There's been a great criticism from media and commissions on why USADA takes so long to come back with the results. I think this is a glaring example of why. When USADA announces something publicly, they're 100% sure. They've dotted all the I's and crossed the T's. So obviously they're going to have to reinstate her victory.
Yeah.
And take the no contest away from this other girl. And she was suspended. She probably wasn't going to fight. I doubt it affected her fighting. I mean, she wasn't going to fight for 90 days.
Right.
But they really, they fucked her. And have they come back and said anything?
The last time I checked, they didn't have a comment because it's still an open investigation. You know, they're still investigating the matter. Yeah.
They're embarrassed. And by the way, how about De La Hoya shuts up? I like Oscar De La Hoya. Continues to talk down in the McGregor-Mayweather fight. He thinks it's one of those boxing matches. It's going to be irrelevant to our major fight, a real fight. You know, Alvarez against Triple G. Look, Alvarez-Triple G is a great fight, but shut up, Oscar. How about this? Boxing has made everybody wait forever. Fucking shut up. It's a fight people want to see. Floyd fucking retired. You know, Conor has fought people we want him to fight. Every UFC always puts these guys together. Maybe boxing should shut your faces and start taking the advice of UFC and pick up where they're left off and start giving people these Alvarez Triple G fights a lot fucking faster.
Dude, if it was under his banner and his promotion, he'd be saying some different shit.
Of course
he's just
would.
Being a crybaby. He's being a hater. And yeah, he should calm down.
He should shut his face.
Yeah.
Even though, like, would I rather watch Conor fight Khabib or Tony Ferguson? Of course. But you know what? Now that this is happening, I am on board with this fight. I'm looking for, you know what? It's fun. Yeah. Sometimes people forget this. Sports are fun. They're entertainment. We do forget that. As a fan, I forget that. I'm like, you didn't fucking.
No, this one's definitely.
But it's entertaining.
It's a little bit of a show and a spectacle, but there it's a combat sport. And it's with two skilled guys, and I'm gonna watch it. You know, I mean, listen, personally, you know me, I love mixed martial arts. I'd rather him fight any of the top contenders,
of course.
But you know, Floyd, with all his, you know, with everything he's accomplished,
it's an undefeated fighter. He's 49-0.
Yeah, I mean, but he's also, and again, he is 40. He's my age.
I'm gonna bet on Conor. By the way, everyone is saying that Conor has no shot, and you may be right, but because every time they're so dismissive of Conor. Yeah. And it's 100% across the board dismissive. Even referees are coming out and saying he doesn't. And some fucking idiot from the Nevada State Athletic Commission came, why would anybody want to see that? No. Anytime you bet against Conor so much, he can't do it. He has zero shot. It's not the fact that I think that he's a better boxer than Floyd. He's not. But the fact that everyone is saying he has zero shot, I now have to bet $1,000 on Conor. I have to.
Yeah.
You know what made me think a little bit more. Conor had a better shot than I originally thought is Mark Henry is Frankie Edgar's coach, and he was in the corner of and he's also Eddie Alvarez's trainer, and he was in the corner that night, and he's a very smart guy. He's always studying tapes and he's really, like, he gets obsessed with stuff and he's a very honest guy. And I remember reading him say that he said that before that fight with Eddie Alvarez that he would have thought it was a joke with Conor versus Floyd, but now he honestly thinks he has a shot. He said something. I might be butchering it, but it's pretty much along those lines.
No, you're right. He said he has like a once in a generation power in that hand that you can't teach what he has. Like, he just, for whatever reason, the twist he has on his punches, and he really admires his striking.
Yeah, and we all watched it. He was there, right there, live, and again, it's a guy that knows what he's looking at. So
he does.
That makes it a little bit, and that's a guy that was, you know, he has no horse in the race. So that definitely made me,
although I have to ask now, will those punches be able to hit Floyd?
Well, of course, Floyd,
I mean, you know, and again, Eddie Alvarez is a tremendous fighter, but he's not a pure boxer the way
Floyd.
So will that punch land? I don't know, but I'm going to bet a fucking grand on Conor. Conor, you motherfucker, win. Because I'm going to bet at that, because everyone's saying he cannot do it, he has no shot, I'm going to bet on him because he does not seem to be the type that responds the way people think he's going to respond when they say he has no shot.
Can I tell you, though, especially in boxing, if Floyd wants to make him look silly and wants to try to make him miss, and he's going to have to at some point look to hit Conor, too, you know?
And they think he's going to.
And Conor's a great counter striker, too. So it's like, you know, I mean, again, a counter striker with the likes of Floyd Mayweather is a big difference to what he's been fighting.
Sure, yeah.
But he's still
Floyd's fast,
extremely accurate, and he's got power, you know? So, hey, listen, I'm going to watch. That's all, you know.
Just because, again, Floyd is a defensive fighter. He still can knock you out. I mean, he's not a knockout artist, but he still can knock a person. He's a professional fighter. He can still knock you the fuck out if he lands a couple of shots. So, it's hard to think that Conor will beat him only because Floyd is Floyd. But everyone is so against McGregor. I'm like, I gotta stick up for the fucking UFC.
Listen, that's why
I gotta bet on Conor. I'm putting $1,000. Which I hope Daniel will cover. I'm putting $1,000 on Conor.
I've always said, though, that I really feel that Conor really has nothing to lose. If he does get embarrassed, if he does get beat up badly, or just gets taken out, realistically, he could just be like, "Yo, I could still beat you in a real fight. I could beat you. I mean, and that's just.
And everyone knows that.
Yeah. So it's just one of those things. You know, it's funny. We had Sean Wayans in here the other day when you were traveling the world and playing with your special.
And
ladies.
I like him too.
I'm sorry. Nice guy. He was saying that I asked his thoughts on the, you know, the McGregor sure. versus Mayweather fight. And he was saying that I think that, that they should both, that he should fight him in a boxing match and then Floyd should jump in the cage and fight him in a mixed martial arts fight. And now, you know, I'm like, listen, that's, we wouldn't love that. Not in a million years. That would
I wouldn't
happen.
Even want to see that almost. Like we all know what happened. Is he a UFC fan?
Yeah. He said he's a fan. He said he gets together with his brother Marlon and they watch and this and that. But, yeah, oh no, that would be. See, that's the difference. That's where we say a puncher's chance. I don't. I think Floyd has a better shot of beating him in a boxing match than Mayweather would ever have a shot versus him in a mixed martial arts.
The only time a guy I think who could, and again, any time a UFC fighter fights a boxer, I think the UFC fighter is going to win. The only guys who would have had a shot against the UFC fighter is a guy like Tyson.
James Toney? Oh, sorry.
I think he's doing it again. Guys like Tyson, who hits so hard and they're so fast as punchers, that if they catch you when you're shooting for a takedown, or if in that moment of stand up you do for a second, he's able to get in and hit you with a body shot, so you're a little nervous about going in for. That's the type of thing an aggressive boxer who literally throws really fast, really hard, especially with uppercuts, because I think that makes shooting for a takedown a little scarier. A guy like Tyson.
Yeah, I mean, it would definitely be. You know, a puncher's chance, unless he got it. I mean, he hits somebody's in the night, take him out.
Yeah.
But he would obviously have to work on other disciplines.
They would have to worry about shooting for, because one punch and he could actually put them away, especially with them little ass gloves.
Yeah, you thought Anthony Johnson's hurting people.
Yeah, Tyson is harder than Anthony Johnson. He probably is harder than Ngannou,
too. Imagine with the 4-ounce gloves when he's in his prime. That would be a problem.
Dude, he punches.
You better shoot from across the cage.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and then go the other way. But, like, you literally
better
walk
out the
cage. I'm not into
butt scooting, but hey, man, you got to get down there somewhere. No. Listen, that would be something. Mike Tyson.
I want Mike on this program.
I think I've said it. We need him in here, though. We need him in here.
We
though.
Do.
That'd be better.
He's so much fun.
Yeah, this is so much fun, Jimmy. And I'm going to miss you, both of you guys, on Wednesday.
Well, we'll see you next Monday.
Well, actually, no, we won't. Because we're only doing one episode next week. We're going to be on Thursday. Yeah, it's July 4th. Yeah.
So what's going on next week? Am I involved?
We could talk after.
Oh, wait. Do we know what's going on?
Yeah, next week's the week. It's July 4th week next week. So we're only going to have one episode coming out on Thursday.
It's rare we do that.
Yeah.
Well, listen, you know, that we like to keep people... You know,
right? And I'm not going to be here, so you're going to miss me for 2 weeks now. Or
oh yeah?
Yeah,
where are you going to be?
We got Lou, the other guy.
Yeah, Lou will be coming in.
All right,
Lou.
Can't call him Lou the producer though. I don't want none of that shit.
Lou the other guy.
Lou's a good guy. Lou the other guy.
Lou the preferred.
You know?
Oh no.
We got to get out of here. Listen, it was a fun show, man.
Wait, Jimmy, how much did I really fuck up today during
this is
that?
Funny, not at all.
During that Michael Johnson interview.
Michael was great.
I live
Jimmy
in the moment.
Rivera was great.
I'm getting over it. I'll be over it by the time I take my headphones off.
You should be. Who cares?
But we should address it.
We both made mistakes today. We're both asses.
The elephant in the room.
That's to me what's wrong with people who talk sports. Yeah. People who talk sports always come off like fucking authorities. Here's what they got to do.
Yeah.
He's got to get in there and he's got to shoot for the takedown. Shut up and just be a fucking person.
I'm just
I don't claim to be an expert. I'm not a perfect fucking person. There's a lot of people that know more than me. You're a fight expert, but you're going to make mistakes talking about this. We all do. That's what sport, you know, we're not all experts talking sport. I don't give a fuck how involved in something, unless you're a play-by-play guy, then you have to be, because you're literally, you're the voice of the moment. But don't worry about it. Who gives a shit?
I think I ruined his day.
No. I think this is the toughest sport probably to talk about, too, because there's just so many personalities.
There's
so
fucking,
many events. Yeah.
Dude, there's 30 different fighters on that one card.
Right.
There's 16,000 fighters.
Well, I think people will forgive me. I think Michael Johnson forgave me.
He called back.
Yeah, he called back. Angry with his lawyer, but he called back.
Hey, listen, we had fun, though.
And we did.
Isn't it about that?
Yeah, and here's how you know it's almost over. I do the almond shake. All right. I have to piss.
All right,
that was
everybody.
A lot of fun. Thank you to Jimmy Rivera. Thank you so much to Michael Johnson. Both really fun guys. We'd love to have you in. Chris, well done. Matt, see you soon. Jim, back as always, the old workhorse.
Bye.
We'll be right back.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.